Never Too Late, written by Glenda Poulter, narrated by Mary Byerly. Chapter 1. Getting my hands in the soil helped calm the turmoil in my mind. The peaceful exercise of planting flowers along the edges of the sidewalk of my new house helped me feel somewhat normal. The cool breeze of approval had, as yet, not materialized. When I heard the tires of a bicycle coming down the public walkway, I made sure I was out of the cyclist's way, but the sound stopped beside me, and I looked up. Instead of a bicycle, it was a tricycle ridden by a brown-eyed beauty staring at me from below her oversized helmet. "Those are pretty, Salvia." The child smiled as she pushed the helmet off her face. "Red is my favorite color. Mama's, too." "Thank you," I said, raising my eyebrows as I returned her smile. "You're pretty smart to know what these flowers are."
"Oh, that's because I help Daddy and Mama at the nursery all the time."
She pointed at some of the other flowers in the bed.
"Those red and yellow flowers are celosia, and those are impatiens. Hosta would look good under your tree."
I sat back and studied the child. She didn't look like she could be much over 5 years old, although she spoke with the certainty and maturity of a much older child. I looked around but didn't see anyone with her.
"Where do you live? Who are you staying with?"
Except as guests, children were not allowed in this over 55 neighborhood. Before she could answer, two women, one heavily pregnant, rounded the corner.
"Oh, see? I told you to wait at the fire hydrant," the older woman said.
I stood up and wiped my dirty hands on my gardening apron, nerves on high alert.
"I plan to," O.C. said. "But when I saw her planting her flowers, I had to come say hello. Look how pretty they are."
"I'm sorry,"
the woman directed her attention towards me. Her piercing blue eyes caught me off guard, and I was more tongue-tied than usual.
"I hope she wasn't bothering you."
"Not at all," I managed to say without stammering. "She knows a lot about flowers and made a nice suggestion to help me out." I glanced at the pregnant woman who was bending slightly at what waist she had left.
"Would you like to sit down for a few minutes?"
Despite the anxiety I felt when I was around strangers, I couldn't ignore someone in need. I gestured toward the slab of cement the housing developer called a porch, where I'd put a couple of rocking chairs and a small table to make it look inviting.
"Thank you," she said. "I didn't know we would need to chase after my wayward child when we left Mom's house, and now I'm a bit tired."
The older woman took the younger woman's elbow and led her to a chair.
"Are you okay, May?"
She squatted beside the chair.
May smiled, and the family resemblance between them shone through.
I was curious about where O.C.'s deep brown eyes and almost black hair came from, since the two women had the bluest eyes I had ever seen, and May's hair was strawberry blonde. The other woman had a thick shock of silvery gray hair adorning her head.
"Let me get y'all something to drink," I said. "I have fresh-squeezed lemonade, water, and iced tea."
"Oh, no."
The older woman stood up.
"That's not necessary. By the way, I'm Tam Murphy. I live around the corner."
"I'm Janice Halston.
My hands are kind of dirty, or I'd shake your hand.
Please, let me at least get May a glass of water. You're welcome to sit down, too." "May I have some lemonade?"
O.C. had left her trike and helmet at the edge of the sidewalk and followed us to the house.
"O.C.," May shook her head. "You've already pushed almost all of my buttons. Sit there and hush for a couple of minutes, please."
I watched the child's eyes fill with tears as she plopped on the ground and leaned back against one of the porch columns, her arms folded across her chest.
"It's no trouble," I said. "She can be my guinea pig. It's the first time I made homemade lemonade instead of using a can."
May smiled, but it was a strained smile. "That's sweet of you, Ms. Halston," she said. "You're kind to let me rest here a moment."